Hey, Tampa Bay and around the world. It's that time again. The time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are excited to be here with you today, as always. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And this is almost 10 years we're getting ready to celebrate being on the air here. Brother Chip, can you believe that? Almost 10 years around here. That's right. Time flies when you're having this much fun. We love Brother Chip, and we just love those good people that are on right before us. And today, we introduce one of our new radio team members in the second hour, which is pretty cool. And in our first hour, we've got Nathan. Are you on the line, Nathan?
Yes, I am.
Hey, brother. Good to hear your voice. And Pastor Jim, let me get your mic on. There we go.
That's better.
That's better, isn't it? I think we are ready to do this. And excited to be on the air every single week. I don't know about y'all, listeners, but I can't wait to get here every week and see what God has up his sleeve for our show. And why do I say that, Nathan? Why would I say such a crazy thing as that?
Because we plan it out.
Kinda,
but it doesn't often go as planned.
Right, it rarely goes as planned. I mean, I send an email to whoever's going to be on the show with me, usually on Saturday before the show on Sunday. But so often it doesn't go that way. And why is that, Nathan? Why does it not go that way?
Because the Holy Spirit directs the show.
That's right. Amen.
And the Holy Spirit often picks a new direction while we're doing the show.
Why would he do
leads
that?
Us. Why would, because of the needs of the people.
That's right. That's right. You know, and we don't know exactly what everybody needs. We know kind of the direction we're going, like you just said. But the Holy Spirit knows everybody around this globe that's tuning in right now. And the ones who will tune in later on our website or on Starcom Radio Network at 10 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. This show will be heard this coming Saturday and Sunday again, 10 a.m. Eastern, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. How many words is that?
Four.
Oh, yeah, four. Okay. StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And, you know, we are so blessed, Nathan, to have the coverage we have because with Starcom, we're in 36 cities across the United States, eight or nine
wow.
different countries. And with this right here, Tan Talk, this is global. And so if you're listening local on 106.1 FM or 104.3 FM, and we're so blessed because it's just been a few months that we have added the FM stations. We're out on five stations right this minute in the Tampa Bay area. And those are 1340 AM, 1350 AM, 1400 AM, 106.1 FM and 104.3 FM. So we're in five stations right here in the Tampa Bay area that covers a big, well, it covers our whole Tampa Bay area, which is about 3 million plus potential listeners.
Potential.
Yes, we don't think that 3 million are listening right now, but hey, you know
well,
what?
You never know.
They might be.
But you know what? That's in God's hands. We've never done this show to say, oh, we had 464 listeners last week. No, we do this show because God said do this show. We do this show because we pray in advance and say, God, what do you want done here? Because you are the one who knows who's going to listen. And also, Lord, we want to be pliable and let your Holy Spirit lead us in the direction. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that, Nathan, before we get to PJ here. He's getting himself all set up in the studio over there. I'm in the control room, and he's getting all his equipment set up. So go ahead, Nathan.
Well, we want to be pliable because we don't always know exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to say.
Right.
We don't know exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do.
Right.
You know, until he does it.
Right. Exactly.
And when he does it, he does it to us as well as to the many listeners.
He does it to us. Yes, he does sometimes. Yes, he does.
And we love it. We
do.
Love it.
We love it.
We love it. We love it. We love it.
We love being surprised. Yes. Surprises are always fun. And we love seeing the direction God will take this stuff. So our part is to be ready to have a direction we think we're going, and then and just say, Holy Spirit, you're in charge. So,
amen, amen.
Nathan, I want you to pray an anointed prayer here to start this show today. Please.
Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. We love you, and we expect you to move during this program today. We love you, and we expect you to direct us and to guide us in the way which we should go. We just right now yield ourselves as vessels to you, Lord, to be used by you for your honor and your glory.
Amen.
And Lord, we just pray for the listeners now and in the future that the word will go forth and strengthen them.
Yes.
Amen.
Strengthen them, Lord, because we know that in your word there is strength.
Amen.
Only as we apply it to our lives, as we yield ourselves to you, do we receive this strength. And we just thank you and praise you for it, Jesus. We thank you and praise you for it, Father God, because we know that you love us and you gave yourself for us.
Amen.
And we love you and we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Ooh, amen. 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 Whoa, okay. PJ, you got yourself all together now. You want to greet our audience and say a word here before we get to this first song?
Sure. It is, like Pastor said, I mean, I've been on the radio show what about 7 years, I guess.
Yes, yes.
And it's never an issue to be on the show.
Right.
Because like Nathan said, not only do, and I honestly believe this, it's not only the people who are listening to get ministered to.
Oh, yeah.
As we're on the radio.
We do.
I know I get ministered to.
Yes.
I mean, I'll sit here and it's not, you know, we'll be talking and God will give me something maybe to share, but it's also for me.
Absolutely.
And amen.
I mean, that has always been a great part of being on the radio show is it's like being in church.
It
so
sure
not
is.
Only am I able to minister to people.
Right.
I receive ministry as well. And I believe that's happened every time I've been on.
Right.
You know,
right.
I walk out of here feeling like God has touched me.
Yes.
Amen.
And part of it is just being obedient. Mm-hmm. I mean, being obedient and being where God wants me to be.
Amen.
Because he will bless that. I mean, you don't have to be in the studio, obviously. Nathan, I know you're blessed right in your house.
I'm blessed.
So, but I think it's just a part of being together and worshiping and praising God, getting into the word, just as we share that back and forth, that binds us together. We minister to each other.
Right.
And it's a wonderful thing. And praise God, we get to minister to other people.
Yes.
That's the icing on the cake.
It's a win-win-win, isn't
it?
You said a phrase there that caught my attention. Nathan, I'm going to pick on you since you're that wonderful singer and worship leader and piano player. I'd like for you to sing a cappella right now. That chorus, "He Touched Me" by the Gaithers. Would you do that for
Certainly.
Our audience?
Certainly. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something's happened, and now I I know he touched me and made me whole.
Ooh, yes, and we declare it right now for our audience that Amen. God is going to touch every single one of us doing the show today and those listening. And PJ, we're starting right off with one of your favorite songs.
You know we are. Yeah. That's what you get for letting me pick the song.
I know. I let him pick the songs today, Nathan. So I'm in, okay. in for it. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this is...
In for a blessing is what I
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, this is... it's an old song, but it is a wonderful song by Second Chapter of Acts, Rejoice.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let's do it. Simple message, but so dynamic.
Oh my goodness.
Rejoice. And we can rejoice, folks. We can rejoice because God is on the throne, no matter how Amen. It looks in your world today. God Amen. Is on the throne, and he is working behind the scenes and working right in front of your nose. And you Hallelujah. May not even see it, or you may not even know how he's going to work out your individual situation. But I guarantee you, and this is one of the benefits, Nathan, of being as old as you and I are. And I'm going to say, Pastor Jim, we have to include him, too, because he's really pushing it up there now.
I am. I'm
he's
about,
getting there. He's
I'm
getting
about 40,
there.
What, you're 46? I'm, what, 45 now?
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Oh, my
so,
goodness.
Yeah, those are our pseudo ages. But anyway,
okay.
you know, as because we've walked with the Lord most of our lives, we have seen ourselves in very difficult times, very difficult situations where we seemed absolutely paralyzed, and that's the key right here, paralyzed for fear, or paralyzed with inaction, paralyzed with not being able to rejoice. And God is sounding this cry to his people now. Rejoice, rejoice. We have a lot to rejoice about. Pastor Jim, comment on that, and then we'll go to Nathan, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Acts 3 and 4.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people felt despair this week.
Sure.
A lot of people have felt very uncomfortable, very fearful of the future.
Right, sure.
And, I mean, I did.
Yeah.
But I kept reminding myself, Jesus did not leave the throne.
Right.
And
Amen.
It doesn't, and we said this before on this show, I know I've said it before, my citizenship, my ultimate citizenship
yes,
is in heaven.
Yes, absolutely.
Do what you will.
Right.
My ultimate citizenship is in heaven.
Absolutely.
And from there, I mean, as Paul said, from there, I'm looking for my Savior to come back and get me.
Right.
And that's the most important thing. I mean, yeah, I'm, you know, stand up for what's right and just here.
Right.
But remember, too, Jesus has, God didn't drop the ball. God hasn't done anything like that. He's still Lord.
Right.
And he will always be Lord.
He will always be Lord, so we can rejoice. Nathan, comment on that.
When we rejoice, the angels in heaven rejoice with us.
That's right. They throw a party, don't they?
It's when we find reason to rejoice,
right,
even in despair.
Right.
Even when times are rough, even when things are hard.
Right.
Even when we are in pain, or when we feel we've been unjustly treated, we find a reason to rejoice.
That's right.
Even if, because Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And because he is Lord, our future is secure.
That's right.
And we can rejoice in that.
Amen.
And we can rejoice. We rejoice in the fact that God is God.
Right.
And we are his children.
That's right.
And just rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice.
And, you know, he's still the miracle-working God. And I've seen some miracles lately. I have been so amazed at the timing of God in my life over the last several months and weeks. It just seems like things just fit together hand in glove like they're supposed to. And let's talk about that, because in Acts chapter 3, one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was the hour of prayer, Peter and John went up to the temple for their prayer meeting. And the scripture says in Acts 3:1, at the same time, God's timing, there was a man laying there crippled from his birth being carried up. One commentary said he was about 40 years old, about. So you think about that. He's been crippled forever, has never been able to walk. And, you know, there are some people like that physically. There's an awful lot of people like that emotionally and spiritually that have been crippled since birth. Just maybe bad upbringing. Dr. Angel and I, on our Thursday night Go Yard show, we just concluded a series this past Thursday night on understanding dysfunctional families and giving hope to people that have been raised in situations like that, that they can turn their situations around. And you can go to our website, goyard2014.org, and catch that series. But here's a man that for 40 years had to be carried anywhere he went. He couldn't walk. You know? I mean, you talk about a bad situation. A situation that looked like had no hope. A situation that looked like he was always going to be in the same situation forever. And then at just the right time, Kairos moment, we call it in the original Greek, right? It's God's opportune time, right, Nathan? When it all comes together right at the right moment. What happened to this man, Nathan? What happened? And we'll get Pastor Jim's comments on this.
Well, he was sat down at the gate, beautiful.
Yes.
To beg from those going into the temple.
Right.
And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout.
Right.
Peter, with John at his side, looked at him and straight in the eye and said, "Look here." He looked up, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk.
Right.
He grabbed him by his right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked.
Go on. Read the next sentence here. The next 8 to 10.
The man went into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, beautiful, and rubbed their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing.
Oh, my. You talk about invading our space, which I love to talk about that, because God loves to just, you know, kind of explode on the horizon, Pastor Jim. Comment on this. God loves to just see what he can turn everything upside down. He loves to turn our situations upside down.
Oh, he sure does. And he picks great times to do it. Again,
yes, his timing's
like
perfect.
Well, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem was full of pilgrims. That was a great time to have that happen. 3 o'clock, the hour of prayer. You know, it was the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, so they were all, the temple would have been really crowded. And that's what Peter and John were going in there to do, was, you know, they had set times when they prayed. Mm-hmm. And so there were, the temple courts would have been full of people.
Yes.
And they see the lame man, you know, and Peter heals him in front of everybody.
But wait a minute, Pastor Jim. Okay, why didn't, in order so there wouldn't be a ruckus, why didn't God have this happen at maybe 5 a.m. when nobody would have been around or something like that? Why did God pick the most traveled, busy moment of the day to do his miracle? I know the answer, but I want your take on it.
Because these things are not done in a corner.
Woo!
To quote the Apostle Paul.
All right.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
He did it to magnify Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, because Peter said, like the message says, I don't got a nickel to my name.
Right.
But what I do have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.
So what did he have? What did he have?
He had the name.
He had the name.
He had the power
to use
the name.
He had the faith behind the name,
he
right?
He had the authority to use the name in faith.
Yes.
The man was healed.
Yes.
And the crowd was just the NIV says filled with wonder and amazement.
Oh, yeah.
At what had happened to him. And As we go through the rest of this, we see why God didn't do it in a little corner, didn't even do it in the upper room. This wasn't in a church service.
Right.
This was at a public meeting place.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. You know what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Out of our walls into the street.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Because, I mean, as we'll see, Peter took it as a wonderful opportunity to preach a sermon.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. He was like that, you know?
Right.
And that sermon got them in trouble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the leadership.
And that's always a good thing.
That's always a good thing. I mean, and they stood up. Yes. You know, Peter didn't back down this time. I mean, this is only probably just a couple of, well, the crucifixion would have been probably in April and then Pentecost toward the end of May. And this is probably not all that long after that. So here Peter, unlike what he did the night before the crucifixion,
deny.
He doesn't back down. He doesn't deny Jesus. He does not back down this time. He stands up and he preaches to the leaders.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's my question to both of you. I find it quite interesting that this man jumps up. He follows the command. When he's told to stand up, he does it, right? He doesn't sit there and feel sorry for himself. But do you realize I have not been able to walk for 40 years? Blah, 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 blah. He's not crying in his soup at all. When Peter reaches the hand down to pick him up, he cooperates with that because it says he pulled him up. So he didn't resist with his muscles, you know, and say, oh, I can't do it. Instead, he recognized, this man recognized the power came from God. How do we know he recognized that? Look at verse 8. The man went into the temple with them saying, I don't know what happened. You know, maybe I just got well all of a sudden. Nathan talked to me about that. That's not what he said, was it?
No, he went into the temple. He's praising God.
Woo!
He was praising God because he knew that his miracle had come from God.
This is why we can rejoice.
Amen. Amen.
Because God is still in the miracle working business, folks.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He's
yes,
not he about yes, he to miss an opportunity when he has willing vessels there ready to speak the healing, put out the hand, pick the guy up, all of that. Jesus wants to take an opportunity. He wants to take advantage of the willing vessel. Talk to me about that, Nathan. He wants to take advantage of the willing vessels.
Well, there are so many people in our world even today that profess to have healing powers and so on and so forth. And they go forth and, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
And the reason why it doesn't is because they're not a willing vessel of the Lord.
Right.
But they're looking for praise to themselves.
Exactly.
But it's not to God. It's not a praise to God. And so therefore it doesn't work.
Well, that's a very good point. And if you go over to verse 16 of Acts 3, Peter says, faith in Jesus' name put this man, whose condition you know so well, on his feet. Mm-hmm. Yes, faith and nothing but faith. I love that in the Message Bible. Faith and nothing but faith put this man healed and whole right before your eyes. Talk to us about that, PJ, because this is not about Peter and John.
No, it's all about Jesus.
Exactly.
And if the man didn't have faith, and I think that's why Peter, you know, first of all, I was just thinking, Peter looked at him and I think discerned that he had faith to be healed.
Yes.
And I'm sure this man, and Jesus spent enough time in the temple, and if this man was there all the time, he had to have been there and heard Jesus talk.
That's right.
So, you know, he was ready. He was ready, just like the man when Jesus, before he was crucified, the man by the pool of Bethesda.
Right.
You know, that guy had been there for a long time too. And, you know, Jesus just happened to be walking by and healed this guy in the temple.
Are you saying that God prepares hearts in advance of the messenger of God coming along?
Absolutely, because I'm sure that's what happened. I'm sure this beggar had heard of Jesus, if not had heard Jesus himself before the crucifixion. And now here comes Peter and John, and Peter says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I'm sure the beggar knew exactly who he was talking
about. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been in there dancing and praising God if he didn't know who he was talking about, right?
So he had, you know, God had put some
faith
in his heart.
Faith.
Because of the words that he had heard. And the man was ready.
I heard Graham Cook say this on a CD when I was driving to Indiana a couple weeks ago. And he said, a faith dynamic that is only as the occasion arises will be somewhat limited. But when you live a life of believing God and not just for a miracle that I need. Oh, I need a miracle right now. God, I need a miracle. Blah, 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 blah. No, but when you're living on a daily basis, believing God to guide you through the day, believing God to meet your day, give us this day our daily bread, whether that is actual food or it's spiritual food. Pastor Jim is chomping at the bit, Nathan. Well, I'm looking through the glass. He's got to say something right now. I see him. I can't see you, Nathan, but I can see him, and he's just going nuts in there. Talk to us, PJ.
Like Paul, I want to preface this with not that I am perfect or have reached the goal.
You're right. You haven't.
Thank you, Pastor.
I love you. But I love you.
I love you too. But if we live a life of faith, then we're probably not going to have to cry out all that often, oh God, I need a miracle.
Right.
Because as we walk a life of faith, those things will just tend to fall into place. It's usually when we step outside of God's will that we need the miracles to happen.
What if Peter and John this particular morning said, you know, I don't feel like going to the temple today, or I don't feel like praising God today. What if they had gone a week and hadn't been praising God or caring about their relationship with God? Would this have happened? Probably not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Nathan.
You got to be in tune with God and God's will for in order for these things to happen.
Right.
Because they, I mean, Peter had to know it was God's will that this man be healed.
Absolutely.
He had to know that.
Right.
And so, I mean, otherwise, I mean, if you're not in tune with God's will, you don't know. And if they had went a week without the word or without fellowshipping and praising God, they probably wouldn't have been ready. They wouldn't have been spiritual. They wouldn't have been spirit-filled.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit just was on them so and on this man so that God moved.
God moved. The man went in the temple walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Can you just picture how he felt? He's never walked a day in his life, and he's trying out his new legs, and his feet can dance. And he is yelling and praising God. He caused such a ruckus. It says everybody there saw him. Mm-hmm. It didn't say a few noticed him over in the corner that now he was standing up. It says everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. Mm-hmm. Walking around and praising God. Talk to me, Nathan, about this. Walking around and praising God.
Well, he was demonstrating what God's power had done in his life.
Yes.
And he was showing them he could walk. God, he could walk. He had never walked before, but he could walk. And not only could he walk, but he could dance. And he was going back and forth. And, you know, I imagine he was running.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he was just running back and forth, praising God for what God had done.
Yes.
And just, you know, just showing, he was showing off.
In the very best way.
Showing off, showing what God had done.
Praising God. He wasn't just saying, oh, look what happened to me, look what happened to me, look what happened to me. No, he was going, glory to God in the highest. Mm-hmm. You know, praise God, he did this. Talk to me about that, Nathan, Pastor Jim, because I think that's what he was doing. I don't think he was saying, you know, I was this bad, now I'm this. I think he was so consumed with praise.
And that's what it says. He, you know, praising God. It wasn't, I think he was, like you said, I'm sure Psalm 100 was coming out of his mouth. Psalm 63, Psalm 67,
right.
Psalm 150.
Right.
Sure, you know, sure.
I'm sure he was just shouting those psalms.
Right.
In his, you know, in praising God, and that which would have in itself been a little disruptive, this being the hour of prayer and all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That would have been a little disruptive.
Yeah.
Which, you know, got people's attention, though.
But what better way to interrupt our prayer meetings than to have somebody praising God for a miracle that's just happened? I mean, that's a great way to interrupt a prayer meeting. I love verse 11. The man threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. All the people ran up to where they were to see it for themselves. And I love this next line right before verse 12 of Acts 3. If you're just now joining us on Living the Good Life, when Peter saw he had a congregation, he decided to preach.
Amen.
I love it. I'm on board with that. Talk to me, Nathan. When he decided, look at all this people. Well, it's time for a sermon. Yep, time for a sermon.
Time for a sermon. Time to speak out. I mean, and tell them exactly what was going on.
Right, right.
And, you know, let them know that it was God. It was God in that place.
Right.
And he I'm sure he was full.
I'm sure
he was full.
Look at the next line. Oh, Israelites, why does this take you by such complete surprise? And why stare at us as if our power or piety made him walk? It's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his son, Jesus. In Amen. Other words, he immediately gives God all the praise, all the praise. Glory,
Amen.
Nathan.
Amen, amen, amen.
Woo!
He let them know that it was God.
Yes.
That God had come on the scene. He let them know that.
Amen. And you know what? So often, when God does something in our lives, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily even have to be quote unquote a miracle, but when we feel his touch, when we feel his presence, we need to be giving him thanks right then
Amen.
For what he's doing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank
Talk
you,
to me
Lord.
About that,
Thank
Nathan, because PJ's getting Shell all set up here in the studio.
Oh,
so
it's just the fact that God cares enough to do that, to touch this man.
Right.
And cares enough to give this demonstration to all those people.
Right.
And God was showing his love to them as well.
Right.
By doing this.
Right.
By showing them that Jesus was God's son. That Jesus, you know, the one that they crucified, was God.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I just find this, I was going to start this show with Acts 4:23, but then as I was reading this morning, I realized it Acts 4:23 doesn't make a lot of sense unless you understand what caused this big ruckus to throw Peter and John in jail. PJ, talk to us about that. You got Shell all lined up. And Nathan, we welcome Shell as a new, here, I'll get your mic on. There you go. It's on now.
Hey, Shell. Hey, Shell.
Hey, Nate. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's going.
Yeah, there you go.
It's good to hear you.
Yes. Yes.
Good to hear you.
She'll be on with us here at 4 when you go off, Nathan. So.
Okay.
But anyway, PJ, talk to us about this, because it doesn't make sense to start with the middle of Acts 4 when we don't know what caused the ruckus.
Right. And
right?
The ruckus was caused by the miracle.
That's right.
Amen.
Peter
Amen.
Preaches a sermon. And then he gets in trouble with the authorities.
Absolutely.
Imagine that.
If you're just now joining us, we're in Acts 3, about verse 12. Acts 3:12. He gets in trouble with them because he dares to give God the credit and the glory for the miracle, PJ.
Mm-hmm. Right. He plainly says that it's Jesus.
Right.
Which upsets the temple.
Right.
The
leaders
of the temple. Because in order for it to be Jesus, he would have had to have been resurrected. Mm-hmm. Leadership of the temple.
That's right,
did
because
not,
he had died a few weeks back.
Right.
Right.
And the leadership of the temple were Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, anybody's resurrection, let alone Jesus's.
Right.
That's why they were sad.
That's right.
Sadducees. That's
why they were sad.
That's right. Whoa. Okay. All
but,
right.
You know, so Peter
One
preached,
for you.
Peter
yeah,
preached a sermon, and it's really. I mean, you know, he doesn't really lay blame on anybody. He does that in chapter 4.
Right.
But he says, you know, he just preaches to them about Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecies made by the in the law, made by the prophets. And then he challenges them, repent.
Right.
He was good at, you know, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out in the times of refreshing. May come from the Lord, and he'll send the Messiah to you.
Mm-hmm. Showers of blessing. That's verse 19 of Acts 3. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins, pour out showers of blessing to refresh you, send you the Messiah he prepared for you, namely Jesus. And, you know, that's for all of us now, not just 2,000 years ago. You know, when we turn, repent means turn around and go the other way, away from those things that we are saying, doing, thinking, whatever, that are not pleasing to God. When we do that and we say, okay, this is a new day in my life, I'm starting over today. I'm repenting and making a clean breast of all that stuff that's been dragging me down. Now, you say, well, don't you just do that one time when you accept Jesus into your heart? No, you probably do it
a
lot of times.
Probably do it every day.
Yes.
And you can do it every day, right? Okay? So he's basically saying you can be refreshed. Refresh. Talk to me about that. I love that little button on my computer when I want to refresh it. And and see what's changed since the last time that I refreshed it. And a refreshment is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Oh, especially in God, when we can take time in the Word and refresh our souls, when we can take time praising God and telling Him how great He is. Talk to me, Nathan, about this before we get to this song.
Time of refreshing. Oh, I mean, it just goes hand in hand with rejoicing.
It does, doesn't it?
It just goes hand in hand with rejoicing, because as we rejoice, we are refreshed.
Yes.
I mean, we are made new.
Yes.
We are made different. We are made better. And as we rejoice in the Lord, as we rejoice in Him, as we are refreshed, our spirit, our soul, is made new.
Oh, my. You couldn't even have a better introduction to this next song by Wren Collective. The Joy of the Lord. Let's rejoice, people, wherever you are around this globe. Let's rejoice.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes. I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Oh, my. That is quite a song. I've not heard that one by
Wren
Collective.
Oh, I love that song.
That's a new group, and that is great. Nathan, what'd that song do for you?
Oh, my goodness. It just lifted me out of my chair into the heavenly.
Praise God.
Just, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. And that is so, so, so true.
you know, when we're feeling down, we're discouraged, we don't feel good, whatever the situation may be, as we begin to praise God and rejoice, and I things change. And I think this crippled man who had been crippled all his life, when he was healed and when he put on that praise fest in the temple, I think everybody was talking about this. Well, obviously, they were talking about it. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it, right?
We're still talking about it. Yes.
We're still talking about this 40-year-old man.
Yes.
I mean, so it was amazing because he gave God the glory. People, amen. When we give God the glory for the miracles and the things that happen in our lives, all heaven breaks loose when we give God the glory.
Amen.
We give God the glory for his perfect timing in our lives. We give God the glory for answers to prayer. We give God the glory no matter what it is we're going through. And it can be tough what we're going through. Sometimes it's really bad. It's really difficult, painful, emotionally, physically. But this man knew to give God the glory for his miracle. Now, we just mentioned the word ruckus, and Shell, I'm not sure how you spell ruckus. I don't think it's a word I use very much, but this there was a huge ruckus, probably R-U-C-U-S. I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
But, R-U-C-K-U-S.
there you go, Nathan. Okay, R-U-C-K-U-S. All right, there was a huge ruckus that the miracle caused. Now, folks, I am pretty excited about the fact that I believe God is in a miracle-working business, and he's starting in this new year, and I think there's going to be a whole lot of ruckuses raised, ruckusai raised as we begin.
Ruckusai.
As we begin to acknowledge the miracles that God is doing in our lives.
Amen.
I've got one going on right now. I've got two going on in my family with my daughter Lori and the new baby, and everything is going great, and I give God the glory and the praise for all of that. Mark is getting a new job. He's going to be interviewed tomorrow morning at Notre Dame. We're believing God for that for him, or wherever he and Candy are supposed to be. I am believing God for miracles in my personal family. Are you? Because this is what was going on here in Acts 4. Let's look at Acts 4. The Sadducees were really upset about this. and as Peter preached, he didn't preach to 4 or 5. He preached to 5,000 people. That's how much the ruckus stirred up. This was a real, real big ruckus. Yeah, Pastor Jim, for 5,000 people to hear this sermon, everybody was coming in and going, "What happened? What happened? Tell me what happened." Well, there was this guy, and he's lame since he was 40 years old, and Peter just said, "In the name of Jesus," and he started dancing, and he started walking. Well, can't you just hear it? I mean, everybody's just talking as fast as they can.
Yeah, I mean, the church grew from 3,000 to 5,000 in one day. now that's church growth.
That's church growth.
But again, that brought down the wrath of the leadership
skeptics.
The leadership of the temple, who wanted them to just they just wanted Jesus to go away,
right?
And they just wanted all of his followers to go away,
just play nice and walk away and forget this miracle ever happened and that Jesus rose from the dead. Just forget about that,
right? But you know that wasn't going to happen. They seized him and threw him in jail.
They threw
them
in jail
because that's the answer to everything, right? Let's just throw them in jail. They are troublemakers. They are troublemakers.
Chain them up.
Let's go to Acts 4. Look at verse 8. With that, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, there's the key right there. He was so in tune with the Spirit of God. He preached a sermon to 5,000 people. And all hell broke loose. But let's say it. Let's say it a different way. All heaven broke loose.
Well, all hell got bound.
Right. That's exactly right. The ruckus.
Yes, it did.
The ruckus resulted in an amazing thing. Verse 8 of Acts 4. Rulers and leaders of the people, Peter says, if we have been brought to trial today for helping a sick man, put under investigation regarding this healing, I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide. Okay, we have nothing to hide. Go on, Nathan. Why do we have nothing to hide? Go on with that next sentence.
Okay, let me find it.
down at the bottom of the page, 1497 in my Bible.
Oh, yeah, but by I'm the a name, 19,
okay, by 1978. The name, oh, okay. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I love this. The one you killed on a cross. That'll preach.
Yeah, okay?
The one you killed on a cross, God raised from the dead, by the way. Dead. Oh, by the way, if you hadn't heard, God raised him from the dead.
By means of his name, that this man stands before you, healthy and whole. Jesus is the stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or now.
Or will be given.
Will be given. Let me see here.
No other name has been or will
be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one.
Okay, look at verse 13. They couldn't take their eyes off them. Peter and John standing there. Kind of scared and sweating
very confident.
Worried about what was about to happen. Is that what it says?
No, they were so confident.
They were so confident.
Yeah, so sure of themselves.
The New International says when they saw the courage of Peter and John, so they were brave, but then they realized something else.
Yeah, go
on. They were stupid. They were unschooled, which was really an insult.
Yes.
You know, they never went to the rabbinic schools. They never.
Right.
You know, they're probably lucky to know Hebrew and Greek.
Right.
They were astonished. And then, I love this, it says, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about that point, okay? Because the devil tells people, you don't know enough scripture to be able to help anyone. You don't know enough of the right things to say to be able to minister to someone. You don't have all the years of walking with God that somebody else has, so God can't use you.
Right.
The devil does this all the time. Talk to me about this, Nathan. It's one of his major tricks. It's called intimidation. It's called intimidation.
He tells people all the time, just look at you. Look at what you've done.
Right.
Look how you've lived your life.
Right.
And now you call yourself saved. But what history do you have? What history do you have?
Right.
What can you draw from?
Right.
You know, you don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing.
But oh, there you go.
Then you can say, I know Jesus.
There you go.
And that's the important thing. I mean, we have, if I may be frank, members of our radio team that say that same thing.
Really?
And yet they walk with Jesus. And that's the important thing. I mean, yeah, you got to know scripture. But if you just know scripture, you don't have the life behind it.
Right.
It takes knowing Jesus to put life into the words.
So many of our radio team members, as they've joined the radio team through the years, have said, I don't have any idea what to say. I don't know. She's sitting in there. I know. We're pointing a finger at her because she's going to make her debut in a moment. Yeah. And they've said, you know, how can I be one that can say something meaningful? Or I don't know where to turn in the scripture. Well, you know, that's PJ and me. We can do that. Nathan can do that. But not everybody can do that. And that's okay. Because this show is about practical Christian living.
It's the insights that the Holy Spirit brings forth.
That's right.
That's right.
That, I mean, you know, the word without the Spirit is just dust.
Right. So it's because we are living it on a daily basis that we can talk about it.
And that's how it was with Peter and John.
Yes. They didn't have any training.
No. I mean, they probably...
They were fishermen.
They grew up in the synagogue, so they, you know, would have known that much scripture at the very least. But they surely didn't know the New Testament because it hadn't been written yet.
Right. Exactly. There you go. So they were talking from their experience, and these religious leaders realized, wait a minute, these guys have no formal education.
Right.
Yet God used these guys to do a miracle. Nathan, talk to me about that. Please talk to me about that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. God uses the willing heart.
Amen.
And he uses anyone who is truly his.
That's right.
And he will use any of us who truly expect him to.
That's it.
Who have faith that he will.
Right.
And
he's looking for yielded vessels. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it's, or 1 Chronicles 16:9, I'm sorry. And it says, "The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are truly his."
Amen.
It doesn't say the Lord looks around the earth looking for the smartest and the brightest and the cutest.
No.
Praise God for that.
Praise God for that, too.
And ones with hair and not bald like PJ in there.
Okay, now.
Or old like Nathan. You know, but the point is, God is not looking at those characteristics. Why did God talk about David in this way? He is a man after my own heart. Not because David was perfect. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He did all kinds of stuff he shouldn't have done. But David had a heart after God.
Yes, he did.
There is therefore
no
condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And dear listeners, if you have bought the lie that the devil has put out there, that because you don't have a Bible school education or because you are not in the Word as much as Pastor Jim, nobody is. So that's right. And if you have bought that lie, it's time to let go of that, because God wants to use every single one of us.
Amen. Amen.
Nathan, talk to us before you go off here at 4. So give your summation statement here.
My summation statement. First of all, everyone, rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And, you know, as we rejoice in him, we are strengthened.
Yeah.
As we rejoice in the Lord, we are strengthened.
Right.
And those that are going through something right now, don't worry about it, because joy comes in the morning.
Right.
I mean, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
And trust God.
Yes.
As you lay it before God and you pour out your heart to God, he will bring joy. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, amen, amen, amen.
And as you know, I have never been thrown in jail for speaking the name Jesus. And right now, I can say that if I am, I can rejoice.
Right.
For suffering for the name of Christ.
Right.
If you are suffering because of the name of Christ, then rejoice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, people need to look forward to the coming of Christ.
Yes.
Because he is coming. And every day gets closer. Every day it gets closer. It gets closer. It gets closer.
You know, Nathan, along that line, God told me this recently, and I wrote it down in my little notebook. Only what's done for my kingdom will last.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else we do is great. I mean, I'm an avid football fan, baseball, love my grandkids. I mean, my 11 grandkids are wonderful. I love them, okay? Mm-hmm. And I love spending time with them. But all of the things that we have in our lives are not going to last.
No.
But what we do for God's kingdom, even if it's praying for somebody in Walmart, even if it is praying because you're on our prayer team, a beacon of hope, and whoa, that's going to last, because you're doing that. PJ, talk about that real quick and give them the prayer address and...
We do have a prayer ministry. Two of the people kind of, I don't want to say in charge, but who direct it are here, myself and Shell.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a prayer need, the address is, or email address is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Please send us your prayer requests.
Yes.
We will send them out. We will send them out with a prayer, because as we're going to get into maybe later, we're going to talk about agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We believe strongly in the prayer of agreement.
Yeah.
And when God answers your prayer, please let us know, because I keep a list of all those.
Absolutely, we do.
Praise reports.
Amen. So that's prayers at bohmglobal.com. And speaking of getting answers, and if you want to talk to Pastor Jim directly, it's Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. And, of course, mine's pastor at bohmglobal.com. We got to do this station ID, and then Shell's coming on. Nathan, what a joy and what a blessing you are. And we've been working together now since 2003, and that's a long time, brother.
That's a long time, sister.
I remember when you were young.
Oh, that was when I was a young man.
I remember it. Yeah. I remember it well, yes. No, Nathan, we love you, and we'll see you very soon. And thank you for being on, and let's go to station ID, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Call.